Hello, church family. Welcome to Church News. My name's Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are so glad that you're here with us today. Caleb, what do we got coming up?
Join us for a healing night on September 21st at 6 p.m. This will be a special night of prayer, faith, and restoration. So expect miracles as we gather together in unity, believing that God will move in a powerful way. We are asking right now that you begin praying for this night, for hearts to be open and for lives to be changed. We believe that God still moves today, so come expectant, come ready, and come believing.
Here at Only Believe, we believe in the power of prayer, and that is why we do First Saturday prayer at the beginning of each month. This one-hour prayer service consists of worship, an encouraging word, corporate prayer, and personal prayer. First Saturday prayer is where we gather at the beginning of each month to pray for all that the Lord wants to do in us and through us in the coming month. We cannot wait to see you there each month for First Saturday prayer.
Hey guys, we have another Brotherhood Breakfast for you August 16th at 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. in the church lobby. We're going to have a hot breakfast. It's going to be good. You'll like it. We also are going to have our devotional and table discussion. It's a perfect event for fathers and sons. It's also a perfect event for you to invite a friend to, or maybe a coworker. If it's somebody that doesn't like church, this is a great event to invite them to check us out before they come to service on a Sunday. I hope to see you there August 16th, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. in the church lobby.
If you've decided to follow Jesus, then your next step is water baptism. Water baptism is a way that you show that you have committed your life to following Christ. It's an outward expression of an inward change. That is why the Bible tells us that it's through baptism that we are participating in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus and have not been baptized, we highly encourage you to do so. For more information, or if you'd like to sign up, you can scan the QR code on the screen or head out to the Welcome Center in the lobby.
Hey, I get to share the good news spotlight with you today. During Serve Week, we had an awesome thing happen that I get to share with you today. So during our project of changing oils for single mothers and the elderly in their cars, we got to share the gospel with many people. But at the end of the day, there was one lady who knew about Jesus, but she didn't know she needed a relationship with him. And our team of volunteers was able to share that with her, and they led her into the arms of Jesus. And now she's a believer just like you and I. And church, that is good news.
Join us Wednesday, August 13th, following our 7 p.m. service for our annual fun-filled ice cream social right outside behind the church. We will be serving up free ice cream with tons of toppings so you can make your dream sundae. This will be a time to connect with friends and enjoy a sweet treat with your church family. So bring your friends and your appetite, and we cannot wait to see you there.
A simple invite card could change someone's life. Our invite cards make it super easy to invite someone who you don't know to come to church with you. So grab an invite card off the pew or in the lobby and invite someone who God leads you to come to church the next time you come. Now, if you have any more questions or would like any more information, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and our team will do the best they can to help you out there. Now, let's prepare our hearts and minds for the message today.
This. I want you to stand and I want you to own it. I am the church. All right. That's good. Now you can sit down.
because I want this to be something that you and I own together, because it's important. Randy brought out Wednesday night when he taught that the church is a lot of things, but the one thing that the church is not is singular. It is plural in every meaning of the word. Church is not just church with one of us, because one of us cannot be a body of many members. And that's figuratively speaking, but it's actually speaking. So before we preach today, let's just pray. Father, we ask you, Lord, just to anoint the words, Father, that I would speak today. Holy Spirit, have your way. Father, I'm not looking to use your power. I'm looking for you to use me to provide your power. Father, use me to challenge the people here in their seats, Father, that they would get a little uncomfortable today. And Lord, let this word deposit it into our hearts. And Father, change the way we live. In the mighty name of Jesus, I surrender as your vessel today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Before we get started today about the church, how many of you have your prayer card? How many of you went to, okay, I'm seeing hands. Okay, so this is a card that I need you to go to the welcome desk after church and grab one of these cards. I better not show that, because then you're gonna see the names I'm praying for. But these are a list of scriptures on the front that we're going to be praying over the next 7 days, every single morning from 6 in the morning until 7 in the morning. We're going to meet here as a church, and we're going to be praying over these people that we're believing God for on the back of our card. Why is that important to you? Because it's important to God. God is after what is lost. Therefore, if you and I are going to have the heart of God, then we too must be interested in what is lost. And that is the lost souls of men and women, children, boys and girls that have not found Christ yet and need to know him better. And we're going to dedicate our time, our effort, our energy, and even church resources, because in October, we're going to provide a service just for the sinner, that we want all of you to invite every single one of these people on the card that you have been believing for and fasting for and praying for 7 days. And then we're going to watch what God will do. Amen? So that's the why behind your what. So we're going to get started back in our Church Defined series. And last week, just like our little stinger before church, we found out that it's not about four walls. Though we have a beautiful church that has four walls, if you were to tear them down, we together would be the body of Christ, aka the body of Christ. He's the head of our church. He is. And we are the body. And one day the head is returning after the trumpet has sounded, and the body of Christ will arise to meet him in the air. But this body has to be worked on. I'm going to be real with you. This body in our broken place is not effective. But the body, according to the word, if we will grow ourselves and mature ourselves to become the body part that you are and appreciate it, remember, you don't get to choose what body part you are. You get what you get. You don't throw a fit. But you work that body part to the best of your ability, right? So that's what we're doing here in church. We are learning how to become the body. It's a spiritual entity that was created by God, not by man. Someone say, not by man. It's built on the belief of Jesus Christ himself being the Messiah. And it's the Holy Spirit's transformative work in you and I. Nothing I can do on my own, nothing I've deserved, but the work of the Holy Spirit through you and I that transforms us into being this righteous, sanctified body of believers that we can be united to Christ. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Anyone who says that the church is dying, not true. Not true. The church is alive and it is growing. It will do what it's been commissioned to do from the beginning of time because the enemy cannot prevail against it. And until God removes his church, it is actually what's holding back the Antichrist from coming. The second the church is snatched away and taken in a twinkling of an eye, now the Antichrist might come and have full reign. But it's you and I, God's created spiritual entity that's holding at bay evil. Is that not awesome? You're a part of God's great big plan. But in order to be called out ones, the ones who are assembled. The church means to be called out, ecclesia. In order to be called out, you must be called into something. What is it that you and I are called into? Because we decided and discerned what the church was and what it's not. But today we're going to find out what is the church's purpose. The church's purpose. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's a good thing that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because the same purpose that was in the early church is the same purpose for the older church. It's the same purpose for you and I. And what it is that when Jesus left this earth, he said, you, my disciples, the followers of Christ, are to carry on my work. Anything Jesus did, we need to be doing. Amen. This is why people are like, well, I can't find tithing in the New Testament. Yeah, you can. You can find it when Jesus went to the temple to tithe. So if it was good enough for Jesus to do, then it's good enough for me to do. And I'm going to do everything I can to walk in his stead. Did you hear that? Carry on the work of Jesus. See, when Jesus was here, it wasn't the ending of his life. It was only the beginning of Christendom and what God had for us as a body of believers to do. They laid Christ in the ground, thinking, or in a tomb, meaning he's dead and every bit of his work is done. But they didn't know that when they laid him in that tomb, it was as if they put him in the ground like a seed. And that life began to grow. And our Father in heaven resurrected him from the dead. And now he is the seed of many. You, me, you. Many. They thought they had killed him. But all they did was birth a whole bunch more devil shakers. Bunch more crazy people, didn't they? That's when our life began. And now, because of his work, we carry that on. It's very important that we understand that we're to carry on the work of Christ. But if you and I are going to carry on in his stead, there might be some things we have to get in order first. Because, see, I'm not perfect. I'm not ready sometimes to do what God wants me to do because I haven't grown and matured in some things. This is why we went through the six basic doctrines. Why? Because they're the six beginning stages of where Jesus wants us to start. He wants us to rep him well if we're going to be his body. So let's turn to Ephesians, the second chapter, the 19th verse. And here's what it says to us today. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. Where we are carefully joined together in him. Did you notice that? Not with him. In him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. So when we lay the foundations of Christ, picture this, a building going into the ground, and Jesus is the cornerstone. He's not one stone, he's a corner. So he holds this line, and he holds this line. And that cornerstone is level. That cornerstone is straight in all of its way. It's upright. It's the right width. It's the right height. It's the right depth. And it sets a furrow as if it would be in a field. Like a big farmer goes out with a tractor and puts an arm, and he puts the arm so that his rows are straight. By the way, if you've ever seen my rows in a garden, they are terrible. I tried to be straight, but I didn't mark nothing off. I just walked with this planter. It looked like I wasn't, but it looked like I was drunk. Jesus doesn't look like that. Jesus is firm. He's straight. He's sturdy. He tells you what you need to look like, what the parameters is going to look like. You can't be a 2-inch stone if he's a 10-inch wall. You got to girth up. You got to thicken up. You got to become the right width, the right depth, the right shade, so that we create a body which is a house. See, Peggy, you're a stone. You're a stone, and the way you live your life affects the way I live mine, because we build on top of each other. We build next to one another. So when you're not doing your part, when you're not crafting your building stone the way God's created you to craft it, and not doing the work of the ministry, hear me out. You're not saved by works, but once you are saved, there is a work in your life that needs to be done. And faith without works is dead. You can say you believe all day, but if you believe in Christ, then you will believe in the promises of God, and you will take a step that says, if God says I can have power over sin, then I choose to have power over sin and no longer walk in it. That's works. That's your faith working it out. And we as believers are required to do that. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4:1 through 4. One of the very first things as a church is we are here to learn the foundational truths. But I want to show you in Timothy. Now, Timothy, well, we'll get there in a minute. 1 through 4, it says, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he appears, to set up his kingdom. Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. This is Paul talking to his prodigy, Timothy. Timothy is one of the youngest pastors ever known. I don't think many of you would be led by a 16-year-old. But that's what they estimate Timothy was, between 18 and 20, somewhere in between there. But Paul is urging him as a pastor, a fivefold ministry gift. Remember last week we talked about those giftings, that everyone has a gifting, but some are called to be pastors, teachers, prophets, and evangelists. To those, there's an equipping that needs to happen. But he's urging Timothy to continue to preach sound doctrine. One of the very first purposes of the church is to preach sound doctrine. Why? Because there's coming a time that theories are going to run wild all over the internet, and you have a chance to buy into that garbage. You have an option to be taken off of the path that God's put you on and to believe that there's... Listen, if I could tell you without making people feel embarrassed of what is going around, I would. But I can't. But some of the theologies out there are so ridiculous. And somehow, because there's a small group of people piloting the internet, people are buying into this garbage and forsaking their faith and believing that God does it this way instead of this way. And it's not even in the Bible. But because someone experienced this, You should never, never, never gauge your life on experience. I've had a lot of experiences and not one of them in the Bible, but it doesn't make a doctrine out of the experience that I had. Do you hear me? You want to know why people are crazy about devils right now? Because it's all about experience. My experience with the supernatural. Well, you know what? I can go to this Bible. I can tell you that probably 90% of this Bible is not written about the devil. And it's written about Christ. So if 90% of your life is talking about devils, demons, and deliverance, then you've got a problem. But if 10% of your life talks about the devil and 90% talks about Christ, that's where we need to live our life. Because Christ said, I have power over the devil and the enemy. And I have him under my feet. So why am I fearful and talking to them? Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. And Paul is urging Timothy, don't stop teaching God's word, which is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. This is why you're not going to hear us talk about anything else but Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. This is our call. This is our mandate. And let me tell you that 90% of what you share with one another should not be about each other, should not be about struggles and situations. Stop giving the devil power about your situation and start talking about Jesus involved in your situation. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus is the church's answer. And when we focus on Jesus, it changes the room. Changes the thought pattern of man and what's happening. We must continue to come to the church where we can be taught sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. And I'm going to be honest with you, this might mean along the way that you have to be corrected, that you have to be rebuked. That doesn't have to be a bad thing. That's a good thing. It means that Pastor Nicole and Pastor Randy are going to step on my toes. And maybe in a service, I might feel convicted and I might have to pull them back and put my head down and just take some more notes. Amen. You know why? Because it means you're hearing what needs to be heard, that you'll clean out your closets, that you'll get to the nitty-gritty in the corner, that you'll stop treating the cause or the effect in your life and you'll deal with the cause of what's the problem. It does no good to put towels down if your sink is leaking. Get it fixed. Get the leak fixed. It's only going to cause more problems along the way. A couple weeks ago, I was down here for the offering and I had a gentleman come up to me. Literally, passing through the offering. Pastor Nicole, I want you to know you're my pastor. I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, correct me. You don't be afraid to tell me the truth that you see in my life. What is that? What is that? That's him submitting his heart and his mind to our authority and saying, I want to be right with God and I want to go to heaven. And if you see anything in me, pastor, please put that hook, your shepherd's hook, around my neck and pull me out of the mire and set me in a place that I can succeed because I want to go to heaven. This is what the church is here for. There's correction. There's direction in what we're doing, and it's not meant to harm you. Amen. With that being said, remember how I said there could be some stepping on toes? I just thought it'd be a good place to talk to you about why it's not okay to smoke weed recreationally. No, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. As a believer, do you understand that you are not supposed to use any substance to cope? Did you hear me? No substance to cope. I looked up through AI. You gotta love it. What are the reasons people use weed? Here's what we came up with. Well, they're seeking pleasure. Whoa, 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 whoa. Pleasure that changes the way I think. Pleasure that takes me to a spot that I don't really get to get much done. I can't hold a job. What type of pleasure is that? What are you trying to escape that this is the pleasure that your body needs to get so that you can do what? Be free of anxiety? The word is for that. God says that you should not be anxious about tomorrow. Do not worry or fear about what you're going to eat, for the lilies are clothed. But what happens is we start putting these other coping mechanisms in. And let me tell you, there was a people that used coping skills. And what they did was they carved these images. And they made this statue. And they put it in their house. And they started to worship it. And they started to cope with something other than God. Church, I'm telling you, you don't need to be delivered from anxiety because of weed. You don't need to smoke weed to be socially acceptable so you can, you know, be yourself. You were created in God's image. You are already yourself. The problem is yourself has desires that it shouldn't be fulfilled in. I'm going to talk to you about this. You know, the world says today that it's okay to live with someone. Try it out. You should try out what you're going to buy before you buy it. No, you shouldn't. God says that that's immorality. God says that fornication and adultery are improper and that you should not give over to your sensuous lusts. Do you know that I've heard this. Listen, more than one. Do you know how hard it is to live alone in America as a woman right now? What'd you say, Miss Sharon?
It's hard.
Amen. But you know what? I'm here to remind you, and this is nothing against men. If you are a single woman with children, God says that he will meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And you know what? Your church is here for you. Step out of where you are and watch God step into your situation. But you do not have to live with someone outside of God's rule and reign in your life and step into sin so that you can get your needs met, because God says that I am your provider. In fact, he tells us we should honor the role of marriage. We should honor it. Either marry him or get out. Church, you know what that means? That means there's some single ladies that might not be able to pay their rent. That might mean that there's some single ladies that are going to lose a car because they don't have it. And you know what that means? We might have to open up our wallets and help fuel the process to show her that God is willing and able, and we are here to help get you out of the situation that you're in. We're meant to confront the church. You ready for this? We are meant as a body of believers to confront sinful action. The way we live our lives confronts it. When you live your life, I always ask my dad, if God made everything, then why did he make darkness, sin, and the devil? You know, thinking I was going to get one up on him. He said, you know, Nicole, some things just always were. The darkness and evil always were. But God said that he created light, and the darkness knew it was present. He said, here's the difference. When righteousness shows up, the darkness hides and runs. That's the difference. You are light. You are Christ. And when you show up in situations, even to a Christian's home, the second they realize that you are righteous and walking in the light, they hide the problem. Oh, I don't want them to know I'm going through that. Why? Because that's what darkness does. It knows the light has power over it. As long as we leave these lights on, it will not be dark in here. What happens to mold? Mold grows in the dark. Whatever's not exposed to the light and is allowed to hide grows. You know what? If you have sin in your life as a Christian, one of the number one things you can do is go to people that you trust and that you love and say, here it is. This is what I'm doing, and it's terrible. And the second you do, devil's power leaves. The light has come in and starts to dry up and put light on all of the darkness. And where Christ's light shows up, you remember, I just had the greatest idea. Remember Lion King? The big lion, he's sitting there and he sits with Simba and he said, Simba, look out over the plains. All that the light touches is yours. And where's the only place Simba wanted to go? What's over there in the dark place? And then he gets himself in a whole lot of trouble. Reveal what's dark in your life and stay in the light. That's what God's called you to. That's what he's called you to. And please, church, I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm not trying to condemn you if you are smoking weed. I'm not trying to condemn you if you are living with someone. But what I'm trying to remind you is that we as a church are to confront what sin looks like and to put it in front of you so that you know there's a mark that God wants you to meet. And then we're here to help you get there. God says that if you will confess all of your sins, he is faithful to forgive. But we would not be good pastors and good leaders if we did not tell you that God is coming back. And if you are found with spot, if you are found with wrinkle, if you are found with blemish, you will not go to heaven. You're going to spend eternity separated from Christ. And I'm telling you right now, there ain't no woman worth that. There ain't no blunt. Is that what they call them these days? I'm learning all kinds of things after I looked on the internet. There's no blunt worth it. There's no man worth my eternity without Christ. Amen? We're not meant to look like the world. We're meant to be conformed and brought out and be set apart from the world. Why? So that when light shows up, it can already show this is the way to find Jesus. And when you show up, we should be representing Christ at its best. That's a hard one. All right, let's turn to Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. I don't have many scriptures today. I think that's a gift sometimes. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. I'm going to read more than that. Just follow with me if you would. Okay, it says, now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people. That's my job, to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Remember, the width, the thick, the fullness. We will measure what Christ looks like. Then it says, then we will no longer be immature like children. That's the Bible that said that. I did not call us immature children. But there are places in my life that are still very immature. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching because we have the six basic doctrines, because we've put Christ as our cornerstone, because we attend church on Sunday and we're getting sound doctrine, because we're being equipped every Sunday to do the work. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Or we see AI on the internet telling us that the Antichrist is dead and then he comes back to life. Do you understand that this is how we're going to be deceived in the last days? Is that AI is going to play a very vital part in the deception of the entire world. Just as it can reveal the truth of a situation. Just as it can be a tool for the truth to get out. The internet, social media, the things that are happening in the media can also be a way to deceive you. Do not believe everything you read on your social platform. And don't post it till you know it's true. I'm going to be honest with you. Just don't post anything you don't have to do with the Bible or Christmas. That's my recent post. I realized I was drinking out of a Christmas coffee cup the other day. And I'm like, how did this get on my desk? I don't even know. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, is it almost Christmas time? And I just thought about the date and then I went, Christmas is anytime you want it. Yeah, it's fine. Go ahead. Enjoy the new birth of the Savior. I love Christmas. Woo! I'm excited already about it. And you know, I was in the nursery the other day. This is so off my point. I was in the nursery with a girl and she had a little one-year-old and she was playing in the nursery and I was watching her open the gate, close the gate, open the gate, close the gate. And she pulled this little mailbox down and I'm like, ding, 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 ding. I get to buy baby toys for Christmas. aren't you excited? My grandbaby's going to be one, so I know exactly what a one-year-old wants because I spent time in the nursery. Woo! I'm excited. I told Randy we need to go to Toys R Us. He said, they don't have a Toys R Us. I said, yes, they do. In Cincinnati, they have a Toys R Us. He said, they do? I said, yeah, we're going. And whatever she points to, she's going to get. Okay, side swipe. You can tell where my mind is. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing in full love. Now, I want you to know that the fivefold ministry's job is to equip God's people. So another purpose of the church is where we can be equipped to do God's work. But what I want you to know is that it's not the fivefold ministry's job to build the church. It said that the responsibility of us was to equip the believers, the body, to then do the ministry. If you're reading a KJV Bible, because that's what I was growing up on, so it's in my mind. It says that there's a perfecting of the saints so that they can do the ministry of the church. We teach this in our new members class, that everyone is a minister. And they're like, you should see their eyes. They're like, oh, I can't minister the gospel. I said, no, it doesn't mean that. It means you come to church to participate. You come to church to give of your gifting, which only you have. And when you do, you become a minister of the gospel, and then we effectively work hand in hand. And when that is happening, the body of Christ is now built up. That means figuratively and specifically. It's built up in encouragement. It's built up in support. It's built up in mind. It's built up in the natural sense. So everyone look around. You see a seat next to you. If you know the person who sits next to you and you don't know why they're not here today, you need to call them. Do you know what I mean? What that is? That is you looking over your brother and your sister. That is you caring about the person in your pew. Because whether you like it or not, you would want someone to see if you were missing. And if you were missing, you would want them to wonder why and to show forth care and concern. So reach out, because we're equipping you and I'm telling you it's your responsibility. Now you're the one who has to do it. The church is a training ground. A training ground. Do you realize that if you don't come to church and be trained and equipped in the things of God, then when you get outside of the church four walls, you won't know how to act. When someone needs led to Jesus, you're going to be apprehensive. But because you're in church and you learn to pray first on Saturdays, where no one's listening to you, nobody's going to give you a microphone, you get to practice or train your praying gifts. When you get out in the street, when you're at Walmart and you see a woman break down and cry, you're going to have the confidence because you've been trained on how to pray, and you're going to go, hey, I know you're crying and I don't want to impose, but would you like me to pray with you? Never once have I turned them, they've turned me down. Never once. You want to know why? Because people want what you have. They just don't know they need it. They want someone to reach out and pray with them. You know what? If you haven't led someone to Jesus because you don't know how to pray, church is where you come. Because every Sunday you're going to see us give an altar call. You're going to see us pray. And I'm going to be honest with you, some of my altar calls are not good. I'm really working hard on it. If you think I'm not kidding, I have one wrote out today that if I really stick to my guideline, it's going to be good. But I prayed before. I said, Holy Spirit, help me. I was saved at age 5. I didn't do a lot of bad things. So it's kind of hard for me to dig into those bad spaces and pull people out and make them go, yeah, I need Jesus. But it's real. I heard last week that someone came to Agua Grande. And because we have a gentleman in our church that's been inviting his friends and neighbors because of the invite card that you have, they came to Agua Grande. And they set out there after it had been canceled 1 week. Then we came back the next week and had it. Do you know one of our children's church workers went out there and started up a conversation and led a mother to Jesus at Agua Grande? Why? Because she had been trained in the church and she learned what her call and her job was. And she said, you know what? I can do this and I can do it well. Yeah. And she did it. It was the same way with Serve Week. You heard that testimony this morning. You know what? That's what Serve Week is about. It's not just about salvations. It's about us touching people, being the hands and feet of Jesus. Because you know what? It's been real easy in this life to just give money towards causes and let someone else do the work. But you know what? I don't think I ever saw Jesus give to resources like that and just let someone else do the work. I think he did the work. He was in the trenches. He's the one that taught the gospel. He's the one that laid hands on people. He's the one that multiplied the fishes and the loaves so that people could be served. Do you know you have the same law of multiplication and miracle working power on your life as he did? That's you. But here's the struggle. All these are important for us. But if we don't do what Jesus said and we don't walk into the purpose of the church, we're not going to change anything than us getting fed on Sundays. I think some of us have tool belts so big we can hardly carry them around. Yeah, I'm equipped with the gospel. I can hardly carry all these tools I got. Man, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I go to church every week and I read the Bible and I know what God wants me to do. I don't even know if the tools are batteried up. I think we've carried them in our tool belt to show people what we can do, but we're not doing it. What good does it do to have a tool belt full of tools that you never use? You're equipped with the word. You're equipped. And we keep going, oh, the church needs more power. Church needs more power. Church needs more power. Power's already been given. Charge the batteries in your tools. Drain the battery out so you can refuel it and fill it back up and use it to help someone's lives. But see, we think, hear me out. You think all these nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, the working of miracles, the discerning of spirits, the gift of wisdom, the miracle working power, the gift of faith, you think all of these are for the fivefold ministry. Those aren't for me. No, they actually are. See, the Holy Spirit is trying to get you so he can use you to display his power. But here's the problem, and you're not going to like me for this, and it's okay. And time just ran out, and I'm going to take five more. You have to have the fruits of the Spirit to work the power and wield the power of the Holy Spirit. But if you don't have the fruits, if you don't have love, you don't have joy. Wait. I wrote them down this week because I mess them up every time. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You will never be able to wield the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Is it possible that the church of today has taken on so much equipping and so much knowledge and so much power unused, but we don't have the character of God to deliver it? And so God's power doesn't show up because you can't wield it properly. Because you want to use the discerning of spirits to tell everyone what is wrong with them. Uh-oh. Guess what? Not love. Guess what? Not gentleness. Not kindness. And you know what? No power is going to flow through you. Right. When you buy a DeWalt drill, you buy a DeWalt drill because of the name. You can count on it. You can depend on it. They even have these big blogs on how long the battery lasts. Milwaukee? That's better? Okay, he makes me look better. Street credit, Milwaukee tools. Fine. Wait, we have DeWalt.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I knew exactly where that was going. Listen, Randy built his garage counter higher so I can't get to it because he doesn't want me working in his garage. So I just step on the step stool, and because he built the counters high, I just leave everything out every single time I work. Because the counters are too high, I can't put it all back. Anyways, the Holy Spirit wants to use you. But if you don't come back to the training ground and learn to use the tools that you know in your mind, you know more than you need to know, but you won't skillfully use what God's given you because you take yourself out of the training ground when it gets too hard. Church, I love you. This is my last statement. We got to get up, which means we have to wake up. We have to grow up and get equipped and trained. And we got to get on with the works of Jesus. And that means stop being lazy. That's the purpose of the church. Now, if you would, stand to your feet this morning. Praise you, Jesus. As I said earlier, I want to be sure that we offer an invitation in every service to every soul in this house. And I would appreciate it if every eye would close and every head bow. And I know this is hard because you really do want to look. But if you didn't bring a visitor, don't be looking around. If you did bring a visitor, you should look to see if your visitor's raising their hand. Jesus has been waiting for you. He's been waiting for you to come to church. He's been waiting to be able to share a message that would draw your heart to him. He's been tugging even as I've been speaking this message. You know who you are. And I know this really seems like a hard decision for you today. But it's really not. It'll be the best decision you've ever made. Countless people in this church have felt the same struggle that you did once. But I guarantee if everyone was asked, they would say it was the best day of my life. This decision that you choose today erases all the wrong you've ever done. It wipes away every sin and makes your slate clean. Who doesn't want a fresh start? Who doesn't want to be made new? This is what Christ's love and his blood at the cross and Calvary does for you and I. It puts your name in the Lamb's book of life. So that when you die and you arrive in heaven, he opens the book, flips to your section, and sees your name. And it grants you access to heaven. You don't have to be separated from Christ for all eternity. But I do need you to make a bold commitment today. It does require that you put fear on the back plate. And you put boldness on the front plate. And it takes courage to say yes to Jesus. I'm going to ask if there's anyone here today that wants to receive my Savior, that you would just slip your hand up so that we could see. Slip your hand up so I could see that, Pastor Nicole, I want Savior. I want Jesus today. I want to change my life forever. Starting today. No more running. No more sinful nature. I'm going to do my best to glorify God, to come to a house of believers, to put myself in the church. Is there anyone here today that would say yes? Father, we just come before you today in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you for the word, God, that you gave our hearts. Father, I thank you for the challenge, even as I was writing it. God, that I would understand the weight of delivering sound doctrine. That I would understand the weight to whom much is given, much is required. And God, that we, your church, the leadership of this church, Father, Randy and I as pastors, Father, that we would deliver sound doctrine to these people, God, to teach them, Father, that would keep their souls from hell, that would keep them from wandering off and giving over their ears to itching ears to other doctrines. Father, I rebuke all doctrine that's been planted in their hearts from an outside source. I rip it up at the root right now in the name of Jesus. Doctrines that have provided preference over presence, I root it up in the name of Jesus. Traditional thinking, we just rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Father, we want to be filled with your love, with your kindness, with your joy. Father, we put ourselves back on the wheel, the clay maker's wheel. God, that you can make us into what you need. Increase the fruits of the Spirit in our lives, God, that we could rep you well when we're in this world. God, let us be your voices, your hands and your feet. God, let us be about your purpose. Remove the mindset that miracles and salvation is only to be done by the fivefold ministry. God, that our only job is to offer the salvation, to offer the prayer. It's your job to answer it. It's your job to save them. It's your job to transform them. But help us to know our responsibility, that we could live as the church on purpose every day of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And if you're live streaming today, thank you for watching. We appreciate that you made us your home church today. And until next week, we'll see you then.